At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Patrick O'Donnell, the author of the new book, The Indispensables, the story of the Marbleheaders, the fishermen who become the strength of Washington's ability to cross water in the turmoil of the Continental Army battle with the British regulars, first-rate British soldiers. It is now December 25th, 1776, at McConkie's Ferry on the Delaware River. Washington's 2,400 volunteers in winter quarters are ordered to cross the river to attack Trenton. But crossing the river means that you must deal with ice floes in the Delaware and another nor'easter. Patrick, there's a photo, there's a painting at the Museum of Art in New York of Washington's crossing. It is not necessarily accurate because it was painted 70, 80 years later, but it does convey the challenge of the river. How did they do it, Patrick? Is there an explanation for how they crossed that river with those Durham boats?
They had Durhams and flat-bottom boats, John. And yeah, it's the skill of the Marbleheaders that once again bring the Army to safety. All other attempts to cross the river that night failed, John. None of them got across. It was only the Marbleheaders and their skill in the boats that were able to bring the Army across. And this was a mission impossible. The river was not cooperating. The currents, everything was going wrong once again. But it's the skill of the Marbleheaders that they had developed in the Grand Banks. It is also working as a team. You know, many of these men were on fishing boats together. And, you know, it's really quite unique. It's a diverse group. You know, you have African-Americans, free African-Americans. There's some Hispanic members in the unit. All of these men work as a team. It's a unit. It's about unity. And in a crisis situation, they come together and are able to get the Army across in the middle of the Northeast.
Not only the Army, but 19 cannon, I believe. That's what Henry Knox commanded, 19 cannon, which is an extraordinary amount of iron and brass cannons for a unit only 2,400 strong. Washington's army was overgunned, and American armies have been overgunned ever since. I want to read some of these names, Patrick, because they're not commonplace, but these are the names of the Marbleheaders. Captain Thomas Grant, William Curtis, Nathaniel Bond, Thomas Fosdick, William Hawks, Edward Archibald, Tom Grant Jr., Joshua Orne, son of Azar Orne, John Savage, John Russell, and then the free men of color, Aesop Hale, Romeo, Caesar Glover, Oliver Cromwell, rowing across the Delaware after 10 p.m. in a nor'easter. But they're not done, Patrick. They don't all have shoes, but they're marching on Trenton. And I believe Glover's regiment was in the right flank. He was attacking down the road. Is that correct?
He was attacking down the river road, which parallels the Delaware River, and they were in the vanguard. And, you know, picture the army. Many of these men did not have shoes. There was literally blood stains in the snow as they trekked forward. That was the condition of the army at this time. This is extraordinary in terms of endurance and resilience and just individuals that were pushed to the limit from the weather and then also the British Army. And they trek down the road. They march down the road. And it's Glover and the Marbleheaders that capture the most crucial real estate in North America. They capture the crucial Assunpink Creek Bridge. And this is important because in the 18th century, most armies would battle. And then when one army had the advantage over the other army would retreat. And the battle would be, just a regular engagement. This was a decisive double envelopment because Glover captured the bridge, and it was the only means of escape, really, for Johann Rall. And they also put positioned cannon on the high ground above Assunpink Creek Bridge, and they were able to pelt Johann Rall's army with the cannon.
Cannon commanded by Alexander Hamilton, a future Secretary of the Treasury and author of several documents that become important. And James Monroe, yes, he was Monroe, was with the cannon.
Well, Monroe was part of, and Hamilton were part of a little bit of an earlier engagement, and that's really an interesting story, too. James Monroe is a bona fide war hero. He attacks several Hessian cannons earlier, a little bit earlier in the battle, and is very critically wounded. And it's really quite serendipitous. As the army was marching down the river road, they were ordered to detain anybody that was a civilian that had come out. And one of the people that came out that night, because his dog was barking, is a doctor, Dr. Riker. Dr. Riker was a patriot, and he volunteered. Marches with Monroe, and it's Monroe and that is nearly mortally wounded as he's trying to seize this cannon, Hessian cannon. It's Dr. Riker that saves his life, and then we now have a fifth president because of that.
The Battle of Trenton is resolved with the capture of most of the Hessians. However, that is not the end of the story. What is happening now is they have made a success, but the British are aware that Washington has charged across the river. And we're going to move forward. But before that, the Marbleheaders are exhausted, John Glover in particular. They make a decision whether they should stay in Washington's army or leave. Half of them leave to march back to Marblehead. Why I emphasize that, Patrick, is that, again, this is a civil war more than a revolution at this point. And Washington has to acknowledge that their exhaustion is genuine. They've made it possible for him to cross the river. They've made it possible for him to take Trenton. But they have families, and John Glover in particular has an ill wife. And so he leaves Washington's army. However, some of the Marbleheaders stay on. And that's important for what follows Trenton. The great success of Trenton is going to be followed by perhaps the two most important battles at this point to sustain the revolution, Assunpink Creek and Princeton. This is The Indispensables by Patrick O'Donnell. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.